Our Old Testament reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Hosea. We'll be reading from chapter 1 of Hosea, and we'll be reading verses 2 through 10. So this time, let us listen to God's word for us. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and have children of harlotry, for the land commits great harlotry by forsaking the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for yet a little while, and I will punish the house of Jehu for the blood of Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And on that day I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." She conceived again and bore a daughter. And the Lord said to him, "Call her name Not Pitied, for I will no more have pity on the house of Israel to forgive them at all. But I will have pity on the house of Judah, and I will deliver them by the Lord their God. I will not deliver them by bow, nor by sword, nor by war, nor by horses, nor by horsemen." When she had weaned, Not Pitied, she conceived and bore a son. And the Lord said, "Call his name Not My People, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the number of the people of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which can be neither measured nor numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' it shall be said to them, 'Sons of the living God.'" The word of the Lord. Our epistle reading comes from the book of Colossians. And there we'll be reading from chapter 2, verses 16 through 15. And let us again hear God's word for us. "And therefore you received Christ Jesus the Lord. So live in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one makes a prey of you by philosophy and empty deceits, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the universe, and not according to Christ. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness of life in him, who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you were dead in transgression and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath." And our final reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Luke. And we will be reading from chapter 11 in Luke's Gospel, verses 1 through 13. Again, hear the word of the Lord. "He was praying in a certain place, and when he ceased, one of the disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? For if he asks for an egg, he will give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, and may you inscribe upon all of our hearts your word. Help us not just to be hearers of your word, but also to be doers of your word. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Occasionally I'm asked by people if I will teach them how to pray. I was asked that a couple of years ago by an elderly couple who were living in the golden years of their life, enjoying their company together, when it was suddenly discovered that she had cancer, the early stages of lung cancer. And so they invited me over and wanted me to teach them how to pray. It was apparent that what they were asking was, what was the technique? What's the formula? What's the magic words that will get God to listen to us and to help us and to hear our prayers? There are many times in ministry where I felt totally inadequate for the task in front of me, and I confess that that was one of the times. I often try to explain to people, as I tried to explain pastorally to them, the prayer was not so much a technique or a formula, but prayer is about the cultivation of a relationship. It's about the cultivation of our relationship with God. It's a relationship, of course, that encompasses a great deal. It encompasses confession and thanksgiving. It encompasses praise and lamentation. It encompasses listening and speaking. But most importantly, it encompasses trust. Not just trust that God will give us whatever we pray for, but the trust of knowing that no matter what happens, that our lives are in the hands of a loving God who cares for us and watches over us. I think that's the point that Jesus was making in our text this morning from Luke's gospel. Luke is one of the gospel writers who show us how terribly important the prayer was in the life of Jesus. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is constantly praying. Even as he makes his way towards Jerusalem, even as he goes towards the cross, Jesus is praying. His life is one of deep prayer and trusting obedience to God. And it's this life of prayer and deep relationship that Jesus' disciples see. And so they ask Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to do what you do. Teach us to pray. Of course, we're quite familiar with the prayer that Jesus teaches them, the Lord's Prayer. We pray Matthew's version of that prayer every Sunday. But it's important, even though we're familiar with that prayer, it's important that we understand what the Lord's Prayer is. When Jesus' disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, They're not asking Jesus to give them a technique or a formula or magic words that will get God's attention. What they're asking Jesus is for him to give them a prayer that will identify them as belonging to him. That's what they're asking. Lord, give us a prayer that will transform us and shape us in our own relationship with God, just like you have. Give us a prayer that will help us to be obedient and trusting before God, just like you're obedient and trusting before God. Give us a prayer so that when people see us, they will know that we belong to you. Give us that kind of prayer. And that's the kind of prayer that the Lord gives them when he gives them the Lord's Prayer. We are often reminded that to pray in the manner that Jesus instructs us to pray is not something that comes natural to us. That's important to understand because many people believe that in order for prayer to be authentic, that it has to be heartfelt. It has to come from deep down inside of us. It can't be imposed upon us from the outside. But Jesus isn't concerned about what we feel. Jesus is more important concerned about what we do. And so to pray the Lord's Prayer, to pray the kind of prayer that identifies us as God's disciples, as Jesus' disciples, means that we are called to keep certain things in mind. We are called to pray in a certain way, whether we feel it or not, because these are the things that help to shape and to form our relationship with God and to help transform us into the likeness of the Lord. Jesus tells us that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded of certain things. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded that God that we worship, the God that we pray to, does not relate to us in the ways that the world relates to us. The God that we pray to does not relate to us like a corporate CEO who's concerned about the bottom line. Or the God that we worship and the God that we pray to doesn't relate to us like an elected political official who's concerned about votes or concerned about us making campaign contributions. But the God that we worship and the God that we pray to relates to us as a father. A father who loves us, a father who cares about us, a father who provides for us, a father who listens to us, a father who wants the best of us, who has our interest at hand. Jesus says that that's how God relates to us. So when we pray, remember that God is our Father. We don't have to wonder whether or not God is listening to us. We don't have to wonder whether or not God wants the best for us. God does want the best for us because God is a loving God. God's like a father who has our best interest at heart. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're reminded that our Christian walk is not an individual private journey, but it's about us. It's about all of us together. We're reminded that God is our Father. God is not just my Father. God is not just your Father, but God is our Father. God is the Father of all of us. When we pray, we don't just pray for our own individual bread. We don't just pray for our own individual food. We don't just pray for our own individual sustenance, but we pray for all of our sustenance. We pray for bread for all of us. To pray the Lord's Prayer is to be concerned about each other, to be concerned about the whole community. The prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray is a we prayer. It's an us prayer. It's not a private prayer. It's not a selfish prayer, but it's a prayer for all of us. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded of that. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded that our chief priority in prayer is to pray for the coming of the kingdom. That doesn't mean that we pray that we be carried away into heaven while the rest of the world is left behind. But what it means is that in the midst of a troubled world, we are to pray, as Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer tells us, to pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it's done in heaven. We are to pray for God's justice and peace and healing and love to finally be established in this world. That's what the Lord's Prayer reminds us when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And of course, when we pray the prayer that Jesus has given us, we are reminded that we are all sinners. We're reminded that we have all sinned, that we are all trespassers. We have sinned against God, and we have all sinned against each other. Not only are we in need of forgiveness, but we are called to forgive others. Now, this is hard for us to do, and would be hard for us to do if Jesus had not reminded us and commanded us to do it when we pray. I was watching the news the other day, two people who were representing two communities that were embroiled in conflict, and was listening to the two people speaking, and both of them had a list of atrocities and all kinds of things that the other side had done, but denied that their side committed atrocities and horrors against the other. And that's the way we are sometimes. We can easily see the things that people have done to us. We keep a catalog of all the wrongs that have been done to us, but very seldom do we keep a catalog of the wrongs that we do and the things that we do. We know the wrongs that we suffered, but we have a beam in our own eye when it comes to the things that we do. But when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are reminded that we too trespass. We are reminded that we too sin. We are reminded that we too offend. We are reminded that we too do things to other people, that we have sinned against God and that we sin against our neighbor. So the Lord's Prayer reminds us that we need to be forgiven. And not only that do we need to be forgiven, but we also need to forgive others. Only when we pray the Lord's Prayer, only when we know that we are forgiven, can we begin to find the space within our own hearts to forgive others of the trespasses and the debts that they owe us. Praying in the manner that Jesus taught us to pray, of course, is always risky. It's always countercultural, but sometimes I'm not convinced that we take the Lord's Prayer seriously enough. William Willimon often talks about how whenever he goes to churches and it's prayer time, he never really hears the Lord's Prayer being taken seriously. We pray for all kinds of different things. We pray for a healing. We pray for sickness. We pray for those who are going through various kinds of difficulties. But rarely, he says, do we as a church take the Lord's Prayer seriously. We are reminded that the Lord's Prayer is something that we are invited to take seriously. It is something that we are invited to make sure that we take deep down inside of our hearts and live by, because it's the Lord's Prayer that shapes and forms us into the likeness of the Lord. The Lord's Prayer is not for people who are complacent. The Lord's Prayer is not for people who are not moved by a sense of urgency. The Lord's Prayer is not for people who do not take their Christian walk seriously. If you don't take your Christian walk seriously, if you're not urgent about what we are called to be about as God's people, then don't pray the Lord's Prayer. Don't pray it, because it's a dangerous prayer. It's a risky prayer. It's a countercultural prayer. When we Americans pray for the coming of the kingdom, we do so knowing that we live in relative peace. We do so knowing that we live in relative comfort. We do so knowing that we live in the preeminent power of the world, the preeminent superpower. We don't have to worry very much about other nations invading us and subjecting us to oppression and tyranny. But there are places in the world right now, people around the world who live under tyranny, who live under oppression, who live with injustice. And when they pray for the coming of the kingdom, they're really praying for the coming of the kingdom. They really mean it. They're praying with a sense of urgency. They really want God's kingdom to come. They really want God's peace and God's justice to come. They really want God's healing and God's love to be established in the world right now. They're looking for it. They're longing for it. They're praying for it. They take the prayer seriously. That's what they pray for. When we pray here in this country for God to give us our daily bread, we do so knowing that our cupboards are usually full, that paydays are around the corner, there's a supermarket down the street that's filled to the brim. We don't usually have to worry about food, at least in the short term. But there are people around the world right now where to secure food on a daily basis is indeed a daily affair. When they pray, give us this day our daily bread, they're really serious. They're urgent about it. They're praying. They need food, and they need it now. It's a daily affair with them. It's not just a nice rhetorical flourish on the ends of their other prayers, but they're praying that God provide them with the daily sustenance that they need in order to live. The Lord's Prayer is to be taken seriously. Not only are we praying for our lives to be transformed when we pray this prayer, but we are praying that the whole world be transformed. That's what we're praying for, that our lives be transformed into the likeness of Jesus, but also that the whole world be transformed, that God's kingdom begins to reign right now. And if we don't want that kingdom, if we're not urgent about that kingdom and the coming of that kingdom, then we ought not to pray this prayer. Jesus tells us to pray. This is the way you need to pray. And there are people in the world right now who do take this prayer seriously. There are people in the world right now who are praying for peace. There are people in the world right now who are praying for God's justice. There are people in the world right now who are praying for God's forgiveness. They want God's forgiveness to fall upon their land. They want God's forgiveness to fall upon their heart. They want God's forgiveness to permeate everything that they do. There are people right now who are praying that there's bread for everyone, not just for them, but for everybody, because that's the only way that they can live in peace. We are called to pray this prayer and to take it seriously. And Jesus tells us that all of us who are praying for that kind of world, all of us who are praying that kind of prayer, a prayer for a transformed life, in a prayer for a transformed world, that we not give up, that we keep on knocking, that we keep on being persistent, that we continue to pray in a shameless fashion. Even though the world seems like it's going to hell in a handbasket, don't give up. Be persistent. Keep knocking. Keep knocking for God's kingdom to come. Keep knocking for God's peace to come. Keep knocking for God's healing to come. Keep knocking for God's grace and forgiveness to come. Even though people are warring and engaged in violence, even though people are killing one another and hating one another, keep knocking for God's forgiveness and God's love to settle and be established in the world. Keep knocking. Keep knocking in a world that everyone have enough to eat. Keep knocking. Keep knocking. Because Jesus reminds us, our Heavenly Father wants to give us that kind of world. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us a world of justice. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us a world of peace. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us a world of love. That's the very kind of world that God wants to give us. But God wants us to continue to be persistent, to ask for it shamelessly, to continue to seek, and to continue to knock. The Lord's Prayer is called the Lord's Prayer, not just because Jesus gave it to us and taught us how to pray it, but it's called the Lord's Prayer because it's the prayer that emanates from Jesus' own life. It's Jesus who is the one who proclaims the kingdom. It's not Jesus not only proclaims the kingdom, but Jesus is the one who inaugurates the kingdom. Jesus is the one who shows us how to live the kingdom. Jesus is the one who shows us what the kingdom is all about in the way that he reaches out to others. Jesus is the one who brings bread, not only the physical bread that nourishes our physical bodies, but the living bread that nourishes our souls. Jesus is the one who came not only forgiving us, but also admonishing us and enjoining us to forgive those who are indebted to us. And Jesus is the one who took the full weight of our sin upon himself so that we wouldn't have to stand the time of trial that we so richly deserve. Every Sunday when we recite the Lord's Prayer together, we are shamelessly and persistently asking the Lord to help us to become caught up in Jesus' life. Help us to be caught up in Jesus' mission. Help us to be the instruments of God's reconciliation and forgiveness and love. Help us be the people who not only live the kingdom out, but who bear witness to what the kingdom is about. Help us to be the people who make sure that everybody receives bread, that there's enough bread for everyone. Help us to be that kind of people. Help us to be the Christ-centered people that God has called us to be. That's what we are called to do when we pray this prayer. The Lord's Prayer is not a formula. It's not a technique for us to get what we want, but it's a way for us to be shaped and formed into the likeness of our Lord. It's a way for us to begin now to live in the overlap between God's coming again and the current evil world in which we live. When we pray this prayer, we're already living in that overlap. We're already declaring to the world that this is the way that the world is one day going to be. This is the way that the world is heading. This is what God plans for the entire world. When we pray this prayer, that's what we're saying. God has a plan for this world, and we're already living it out. We're already praying for it. We're already shamelessly asking God to shape and to form us into that kind of people. And if you want to join that world, come and be a part of what we're doing. Come and be a part of us. Come and pray the prayer that the Lord has called us to pray. Come and pray the prayer that the Lord has asked us to be shaped and formed by. Come and pray the prayer of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what praying the Lord's Prayer is all about. The prayer that Jesus gives us is indeed a gift. It's not just another onerous responsibility that we have, but it is a gift to help us to be the people that God has called us to be. Let us take the gift of God's prayer and let us pray it shamelessly and persistently. Let us continue to pray it not only on Sundays, but let us pray it at night when we're alone. Let us pray it when we're at work. Let us pray it when we're at school. Let us pray it during the day. Let us pray it at all times. Let our hearts be permeated and shaped in this prayer, because it's the prayer that transforms us into the likeness of the one who came so that we might have life and have that life in abundance. My friends, let us be the praying people that God has called us all to be. A praying people for a broken and violent and lost and desperate world. We are called to be that people of light in our prayers and in everything that we do. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have given us your prayer as you have given us your Son. You have given us your word, and you have given us the way that we should live our lives. We ask, Lord, that you help us to pray the prayer that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave us with boldness. We ask that you help us to pray that prayer with courage. We ask that you continue to shape and to form us into the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose trusting obedience was manifested even at the cross. Lord, sometimes we pray and we don't know the whole picture, as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ prayed on the night of his arrest. We sometimes pray, but we don't know what you are leading to. But we know that the overall story is the story of our redemption. We know that the overall story is the story of our salvation. We know that the story is the defeat of the forces and powers of death, so that we can have life and have that life in abundance. We ask, Lord, that you help us as a church, that you help us as your people to continue to live into that good news, to take that good news deep down inside of our hearts, and to take it out in the midst of a broken world. Help us to be the Christ-like people that you have called us to be, the center of your new creation, the bearers of your good news and of your salvation. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.